Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Those words are the opening phrase in Charles Dickens' classic work, A Tale of Two Cities. And friends, I don't know if you remember from your high school days reading that classic work, as I was required to do, but in that phenomenal work, Charles Dickens paints a picture of life in two cities. And those two cities were London, England, and Paris, France. And of course, the setting of that classic work was 1775. A Tale of Two Cities is told from the viewpoint of the omniscient or the all-knowing. And what I mean by that is the narrator or the storyteller, who is never identified, has access to the most deep thoughts and inner feelings of all the characters in the story. And of course, A Tale of Two Cities is one of two historical novels written by Charles Dickens. It's set in London and Paris, in the French countryside at the time of the French Revolution. The book is sympathetic to the overthrow of the French aristocracy, but highly critical of the reign of terror that ultimately followed. And if you know anything about British literature, you know Dickens characterizes the men and women who populate the Tale of Two Cities less by what the book's narrator or the characters themselves say and more by what the characters do, which I think is the way it should be. So as a result, the novel seems somewhat modern. In fact, it's even timeless, despite the fact that it was set in the 18th century. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. This is not going to be a program about British literature. It's going to be about something else. But I'm Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by Sam Rohr. Worst of times, yet best of times. We're going to reverse Charles Dickens' order. He said best of times, yet worst of times. We're going to reverse it and say worst of times, but yet best of times, because that could well describe life in America right now, and that's going to be our theme today, worst of times and yet the best of times, and we're going to examine that theme on a variety of fronts. Sam, I want to talk to you about what's going on in the state of Texas right now, more specifically the city of Houston. You gave some stunning statistics yesterday. You talked about that all of this damage created by Hurricane Harvey may end up costing $40 billion plus. You talked about the trillions of gallons or cubic feet, rather, of water that has fallen on that state. You've talked about the far-reaching effects. Sam, we haven't even had a chance to explore, and probably rightly so, the petroleum price increases, food price increases, dry good price increases, even the effects on national security, all of which are going to be affected in some way by this natural disaster. Yet in many ways, Sam, and we were talking about this before we went on the air, this is the best of times with respect to how Texans are responding to this crisis. I would love for you to share with our listening audience a little bit about that.
Well, Dave, it actually is. And I think it's a good thing that you're doing there, that in the midst of all of these record-breaking challenges, of which you mentioned just some, and they're still increasing because as we're speaking, a couple of levees have broken there now in Houston, and there's water coming down. They're letting water out of the dams that's coming into the city. There's a lot of things happening. But, Dave, one of the remarkable things there is that there's a sharp contrast between how this disaster is being addressed there in Texas as compared to what happened in Louisiana or New Orleans some years ago. There's something about the attitudes of the Texans. The governor, you and I were talking off air, Governor Abbott has done just a really stellar job of providing good leadership and methodically going about trying to address this disaster for which no one had any comprehension about how to deal with it. And Dave, to look, you know, it's a fact that the entire Texas National Guard are all involved, all of them. They're all called out. They're all involved. However, they're doing only a part of it because the average person, if people look in their, you know, the website and pictures, you know, people in their little boats, their little fishing boats and their kayaks and their other canoes and things that they have, they're out there actually out helping to rescue people. Dave, it's really, that's the best part of the equation. It's great to see these people coming together and to help each other. It's kind of like a one big family down there in many respects. That's a good thing.
Well, you know, my wife would say this. In fact, she did say this, Sam, to me yesterday. She said, well, you know, these are Texans. And she is a Texan. And she said, Texans do this. They are, as a state, one big family. And my brother has said it this way to me. He said, Dave, when you as a state, referring to Texas, were actually a country before you were a state, which is what Texas was at one time. He said, you think about things differently. You view things differently. You have a spirit of independence. You have a spirit of love of your state that breathes out of every pore of the fabric of that state. And so there's a lot of things going on. And Sam, I think you've hit the nail on the head. This is a dramatically different way of responding to a natural disaster than what happened with the state of Louisiana. And again, Sam, you and I were talking before we went live on air about my visit down to the state of Louisiana during the Katrina crisis. And I was there. I was there in Baton Rouge and Gulfport because of Katrina. We took a load of supplies down there. And more tragic, Sam, by far than the effects of the hurricane, though that was horrific, was the governmental leadership or lack thereof and the response on the part of citizens to the tragedy. Sam, citizens waited in Louisiana and in the city of New Orleans for the government to rescue them. And the government failed them really in many ways miserably, both locally and on the state level, and I guess some would say even on the national level. However, in Texas as a whole, in Houston specifically, the response is so different, especially as you said, how people are responding and going to help their fellow man. And even, Sam, I will say this, I'm hearing nothing coming from Texas Governor Abbott and others about what President Trump has done. He has been prepared, Johnny on the spot. He's on his way there now. In fact, he'll be landing shortly, not in Houston. He's trying to avoid going to that area lest his presence there create more havoc. He's going to an area, you know, where he can speak and see the problem but address the issue. So, Sam, this really is, from a governmental response, the best of times.
Well, it is, and I was glad to hear some of the spokespeople from the Trump administration. And I got to put in here, I don't think officials from the Obama administration ever spoke this way, but they said, we can only do so much as FEMA, as government, that we can only do so much for something of this magnitude. This is bigger than we are, and this will require our people together individually, collectively, to come together in order to address this need. Dave, even that attitude, I've got to commend them. I mean, it's not just a practical attitude, because it is practical, because they can't. But I don't think I recall any kind of thing like that coming out of the last administration. It was all about us, government, government, government. We will do it. And it was a different approach from the president level as well as the cabinet level. And that is a good thing because, frankly, government, as we've said, Dave, government is not God. They are not all powerful. They cannot do what needs to be done. It's really the people that come together and the church involved in the middle of that, which is happening in Texas, to meet these kinds of needs.
Well, I think our friend yesterday, Sam Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, said it well. There are a lot of Christians in Texas churches, and the president has only at least two occasions in the midst of this tragedy mentioned Franklin Graham's organization, church organizations, Christian organizations that are coming to the aid of Texans. That's great stuff. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to continue with this theme, worst of times, best of times, but in segment two, with respect to politics. Is it possible with the division in our country, this could be the best of times for our nation? You're going to find out about that after this brief timeout.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it, I've heard it, and what we've heard is this. America has never been more divided. The divide politically has brought everything in D.C. to a complete stalemate. Nothing is being done. And that's the phrase we have heard over and over again. While this certainly appears to be true, there is, friends, an upside to all of this. It is indeed the worst of times and yet the best of times. Sam, I want to go here with you, and I want to talk a little bit about this today. I don't think we've ever seen a more clear political divide in the United States of America. When I say political divide, I am not talking about the racial divide, though we could talk about that, and we may talk about that a little more. But I'm talking about a political divide in America in this sense. One of the political parties is thoroughly and unequivocally globalist. The other party is too, but the other party has some leading them that are the antithesis of globalism. I'm talking about, of course, President Trump. He's not a globalist. He is very clearly a nationalist, not a white nationalist, but he is a nationalist in the sense he wants America to succeed. He wants America to be first, and I think that is appropriate and should be the way any president ought to think about his country. One party wants to see government expanded to be the end all and deity, so to speak, of the nation. The other party doesn't mind that expansion, but that party is being led by a man who, at the very least, wants to see deregulation of business. He wants to see industry standards relax so that our economy can once again flourish. So, Sam, in one sense, politically, this worst of time scenario that we're watching, this divide in the parties that seems to be making it impossible to get a lot done in D.C., could this not be a best of time scenario in that the American people can see clearly where, you know, the ideological differences, I will say, between those that want to lead the country?
Well, Dave, I believe they can. However, I would frame it this way. We as the American people have to know what it is we're looking for. In other words, to understand what you are saying there, you have a globalist faction, you have a nationalistic faction, you have an America First faction, you have a one world government faction. Dave, there are people who are conservatives, not necessarily Christians, but conservatives who say, I don't want to give up my independence to follow George Soros's one world government people. That's a good thing. They're a constitutionalist. There's a thing there. On the other hand, there are those who look at this from a biblical perspective, like we talk about here a lot, who say there's a whole lot more to it than just nationalistic versus one world government. There is, in fact, that the globalist agenda is fostered by, is promoted by those who are either wittingly, knowingly, or unwittingly supporting what the Scripture talks about as the one world government, the rise of the Antichrist, the opposer of God. So, and really, in a bigger perspective, Dave, you have people really who are saying, give me the world government. Give me a diminished United States. Give me a government, a bigger government is the better government mentality, who are also, if you look on that side of the equation, they are rejectors of law. They're rejectors of the Constitution. They are rejectors of closed borders. They are rejectors, ultimately, of moral authority, certainly of the Bible. Almost always that walks hand in hand with those who are opposed to Israel and Christians generally. So, Dave, there is a clear divide. And if people understand what is taking place here, it helps to these things to bring it into perspective. And I think those are things we're seeing revealed before our eyes, and I think witnessed in a microcosm right smack in Washington, D.C.
Well, Sam, I'm glad you brought that up, because behind the political divide and behind the fact that we have globalism versus nationalism, behind the fact that we have big government versus those that would like to see smaller government, at least a segment of the Republican Party wants to see smaller government, behind all of that, Sam, is what you're talking about. There's a spiritual component and there is a prophetic component. I've wanted to ask you this for some time, and I'm going to do it on air and let you respond to it. Sam, leading up until the elections of November 8th of 2016, we had a very clear trek, a very clear trajectory toward globalism. Even George W. Bush, as much as I respected him, as much as I appreciated a lot of what he did, there were very, very clear components of his presidency that were advancing the globalist agenda. His father, George H.W. Bush, was one of the first ones to talk about this quote-unquote new world order, and he threw it out there. Of course, Clinton, following George H.W., advanced that, and then George W. advanced it, and then we put the throttle to the floor with respect to globalism with the presidency of Barack Obama. And if Hillary Clinton had been elected, we were going to probably press the accelerator even through the floor in that direction. And then here comes Donald Trump. He is elected by, you know, a vote, obviously, that no one fully anticipated, but an evangelical vote that voted in numbers likes of which we had not seen in a long time. And now here we have this anti-globalist, this strong nationalist, this guy that is in many ways, I think, Sam, viewed by those on the left and the globalists as the singular roadblock to accomplishing their agenda. And behind that, Sam, of course, is the wicked one himself who wants to advance this globalist agenda. And here we have a man that's been elected, obviously, with God allowing it to happen, and brakes are at least being applied to some degree on the globalist agenda. Sam, to me, that is a stunning, stunning thing. Talk a little bit about what you think is going on and why God allowed this.
Well, Dave, I think this is my sense. We need to take these principles into account. One, we know that God raises up and puts down those in power. So we know that God raised up Barack Obama. We know that God raised up Donald Trump. Now, when we back up and look and say, for what purpose? Well, I have said that I believe that God ultimately raised up Barack Obama to do two things. One, God used him to align the nations, primarily in the Middle East, for the Lord's return. You have Russia now in the Middle East. You have it in coalition with Iran. Turkey's coming into that coalition. That's prophecy, Ezekiel 38:39. Who caused that? Who, under whose leadership? That was Barack Obama. Now, I think he was not trying to advance biblical prophecy. He was trying to advance an alignment of people there that ultimately may be of harm to us as the United States. I think that's what it was all about. However, God overruled, and he's causing that to happen. Into that, I think something else happened. I think God put Barack Obama in there to help waken up the American people, and I think American Christians, as the fact of what can actually happen when government turns unrighteous and turns evil. We know that when the righteous authority, the people rejoice. When the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Well, I don't have to remind people, the people were beginning to bear mourn or were mourning when they began to see the IRS being worked against them, the Supreme Court being encouraged to turn a biblical law values upside down. But now into that walks Donald Trump. He's holding a nationalistic perspective, doing what the Bible says in that regard. And I think God is using Donald Trump right now to again give the American people, American Christians, opportunity to say, look up, look up. The answer is not in Washington. The answer is not Donald Trump. The answer is God. And Donald Trump, though, God is using him, I think, Dave, to cause people who were once riding the fence, who thought that they could be appeal to both sides and be like the chameleon on the wall, to show their true colors. And I think they're really falling off, Dave. I think that as kind of biblical principles that are being put forward, and I think they are, perhaps unwittingly by the president, they are happening. They're causing people to come down on one side or the other. And I think that we're seeing the face of evil, Dave, becoming more hardened, kind of like Egypt before God sent the plagues on Egypt. They became hardened in their opposition to God, the Constitution. They think they're hardening their heart towards Donald Trump because he's the face of it. Ultimately, I think they're hardening their hearts towards God. On the other hand, I think God is awakening the remnant, those who truly know him, and that's the good times. I think, Dave, God is speaking to those who truly know him. At the same time, he's hardening the hearts of the evil. This is really what the scripture says will happen as we approach those end days. It's exciting times, in my opinion.
Well, Sam, it is to me. It's an incredibly exciting time, and I know we have about a minute and a half until we go into the break, but I want to go back and capitalize on something and capture something you said earlier. You alluded to the fact, and then I followed up and said, I think it's happened twice, where the president has come out and his administration officials have clearly said, what's happening in Texas is way bigger than us. Okay, it is bigger than the federal government's ability to handle, and so they are putting it back on to groups or two people. They're putting it on state officials. You've got to do your job, but they're also calling in and bringing in and referencing the Christian community, the church community, and calling really in one sense, and then praising them when they do it. The church needs to step up and respond. And Sam, in Texas, that is happening with this disaster relief surrounding this hurricane. I don't know about you, Sam, but when I hear that, though this is a terrible situation, a worst of times scenario in Texas, it is again a best of times because the church can rise up, and I believe is rising up down there in a large degree, and doing what we're biblically called to do, and that is respond in these situations. What do you think about that? I think it's a best of times scenario.
Dave, I agree with you because, again, whose primary purpose is it to meet needs of people, meet social needs? It's the church, Dave. It's not government. Now, in a case like this, government can do certain things that people can't do by themselves. But the point of it is, it's people and the church first with government assistance, not the other way around. That's the ideal, biblically.
Sam, let me say this. If we could say nothing else other than what you just said, it's the church first rising up to meet the needs of people socially and government providing help, not the other way around. Friends, that is the truth. And when we come back, we're going to continue this theme, worst of times, best of times, only we're going to approach it from a spiritual perspective. Is what we're watching in our country, while division is certainly there, is this the best of times for our country spiritually? Join us after this brief break.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, some have called him the most unqualified man ever to be president, and they have done that. In fact, are still doing that because of what they are referring to, or maybe we should refer to, as his checkered past. Others say that he is facilitating or has facilitated the most dynamic spiritual advancement in recent memory. And of course, I'm talking about President Donald Trump. There are those that despise him. Of course, there are those that greatly appreciate him. Sam, I want to talk about this and whether this could be a worst of times, best of times scenario with respect to what is happening in our country spiritually. President Trump is a unique president, to say the least. My brother, who is a historian, has frequently compared him to a prior president in the United States. Andrew Jackson said, you know, his presidency and the way he goes about things would mirror maybe some of the way Andrew Jackson did things many, many years ago. But Sam, here's the bottom line. No one has even talked, never even broached the subject of reversing the Johnson Amendment to the IRS tax code. And yet President Trump campaigned on it. And then on May the 4th, National Day of Prayer Day, he signed an executive action in the Oval Office doing precisely what he promised he would do. And he said, I want to do this because America's pastors ought to be able to speak freely what God's word has to say. He has made decisions with respect to transgenders in the military that we believe are completely in line with a biblical worldview. He has talked much about the sacredness of the life of the unborn. He has referred to, on a number of occasions, that the definition of marriage needs to be between a man and a woman. So all these things, Sam, are very biblical in their orientation and things with which we would agree. So is it possible that while President Trump in some ways could be considered by many the worst of presidents, yet at the same time, this may be the best of times for what is happening spiritually?
Well, I do believe that, Dave. And again, at the end of the day, what measures, generally speaking, what is the measure of a president, in this case, or it could be anybody in office, their legacy? Well, it's the policies, the decisions, the law, those things that have support, those things that mark that administration. And all of those things that you cited there, Dave, are things that are biblical. They're things that relate to God's definition of marriage, God's purpose for the pulpit, the unborn, the value of life. All of those things that you cited, those are major, unequivocal, from God's perspective, moral law that have been trashed by former presidents, in particular the last one. So to come back and reverse those is exactly what a president should be and will be measured when they stand before God. I mean, ultimately, a person's responsibility in government, Dave, is to do those things that advance truth, biblical truth, and advance justice, praising those who do well biblically and standing opposed to those who do evil, unbiblical things. Well, these are those things, Dave, that are, in fact, correct. I think the question is, what happens here? And because on one hand, what the president's doing by turning back these policies, it's causing an anger to deepen what those who were in favor of them in the first place, those who are opposed to God's plan law, these people are getting angrier by the moment, furious, matter of fact. Now, my question is, my challenge is to the church and all who are listening, are we being as glad, as thankful to the Lord, as in praying more for this president because of these things, which are in fact righteous policies? Are we as joyful and thankful that these changes are being made as the other side is being angered because of them? I think that's a real challenge I'd put before those who are listening. I mean, are you thanking the Lord for these things that are being done and being aware of it? Because if we sit back and do nothing in response, Dave, and the other side, the evil side, just becomes more hardened, I think I know how it's going to turn out. I think this is a real opportunity for people to stand up and say, we identify with the truth. Thank you, Mr. President.
Sam, I think you're reading my mail, and let me tell you why I think you are, because this is something I have been trying to stress in every church in which I'm privileged to minister. In fact, since really the election, and certainly since Inauguration Day, and we started seeing these policies that the president is attempting to implement that you have just discussed and that we have been talking about, repeal of the Johnson Amendment, transgenders in the military, the sacredness of the life of the unborn, all of these things that were being run roughshod over by the Obama administration now that are being brought back into the picture in a very biblical stance with respect to them is being initiated. I've been trying to tell churches, look, what you're watching on the news is not even half of the truth. Most of the time, it's none of the truth. What you're not getting and what you're not seeing is what's going on behind the scenes that this administration is trying to implement, and they're incredibly good things. And I've been encouraging people to do exactly, Sam, what you just said. We need to rejoice greatly over this. We need to go to our knees in prayer like never before for this president, that God would strengthen his hands. He would continue to follow not just sage human advice, but he would follow godly wisdom that he needs, and he has around him people that are pouring into his life and attempting to pour into his life that kind of wisdom via this spiritual advisory council, the vice president, who is a committed believer. All of these things, Sam, are things about which we need to be praising God, and we need to continue praying to the Lord that they will continue. Let me go here and ask you this. We've been seeing a lot recently. The media did not show the entirety of these events. I think Fox may have been one of the few that did. But at the rally in Phoenix the other day, Alveda King came out, wonderful lady that she is, and she prayed a phenomenal prayer calling the church and the nation to repentance. And then she led those 25,000 plus in the chorus of How Great Thou Art. And then she introduces Franklin Graham. He comes out. He fearlessly mentions God, prays in Jesus' name, preaches basically a sermon in his prayer, and says before he prays that prayer, I don't know how to pray a generic prayer, so I'm going to pray like my mama taught me. I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. And he did it. We see the president expressing appreciation for those in the evangelical community and for these very ideals and these very truths that are being incorporated into his rallies. Sam, this is unprecedented stuff. So again, worst of times with what some are pointing out, division in our country and the pot being stirred. And yet, Sam, best of times when you look at the spiritual components that are taking place.
Dave, you are correct. And I would put it even in a little phrase a little bit differently, perhaps exactly what you're saying. But I think also what we're seeing, not only are these expressions of what we absolutely was hoping for last year at this time, but we didn't think was going to happen because we thought a Hillary would become president. When a president actually is doing, as in these examples, things that we haven't seen really, Dave, for a long time. But when a president does that, are we in fact thanking God for making it possible? And I think in reality that every time the president permits this to happen, and a Franklin Graham stands up and does what he does with always presenting the gospel, or others like Avita King giving attention to the Lord. When these things happen, Dave, I think almost it's another example that God is saying, American people, American Christian, how are you going to respond? They're hearing a witness. And even the unbelievers, the rejectors of truth, Dave, are hearing once more, I think in mercy from God, another example of Jesus Christ is the way. There is such a thing as a Christian life. There is hope in God. Every one of these, Dave, I think examples are examples of mercy. The gospel being shared, of giving people another choice, an opportunity to look heavenward or to look governmentward.
Well, Sam, let me ask you this, because some, not many, thankfully, have said with respect to what the president is allowing or permitting or encouraging at these rallies, these prayers, these comments, these incessant remarks about God. Some are saying, well, he's playing a political game. He's playing to his base. My personal opinion is I don't think that is what this is at all. I think this is genuine. But from God's perspective, when his name is brought into the picture, when his name is elevated, when his gospel is elevated, when prayer is offered to him from sincere hearts, and I have no doubt that Avita King and Franklin Graham and these others are anything but the sincerest of those that are committed to Jesus Christ. When this happens, Sam, what biblically is God's response? Is this not precisely what the God of heaven wants from people, a clear acknowledgement of him? And as you said earlier, not turning to government, but turning to him.
That's exactly, Dave. Every person in government, every person who is in office, let's put it this way, let's broaden it. Every person who is in a position of authority. So I'm going to include out there fathers and mothers, if you're listening, grandparents, teachers in the classroom, employers, those in office, certainly, and certainly those in the pulpit. What is our responsibility in the position of authority? It is to point people to the God of heaven. That's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did after he got up off of his knees after God judged him. He raised his hands to heaven and said, I extol the God of heaven who can raise up and put down. Dave, whenever a person in authority lifts his hands and the voice to God himself, they're doing exactly what God would want them to do.
So in other words, Sam, this is not a light thing. This is not an insignificant thing that is happening with this administration. This is a very important thing because it arrests the attention of the God of heaven when leaders and authority respond in this fashion. Well, friends, when we come back from this brief timeout, we're going to go into our solution segment. We're going to talk about the takeaway. What should the true Church of Jesus Christ be doing as a result of this faith friendliness that we are seeing? And what can we do to make this even more the best of times in the United States of America? Don't miss the solution segment coming right up.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, it hardly seems possible, but 1 week ago yesterday, we were coming out of a 100-year unique eclipse, something that had not happened in the United States of America to that degree in 100 years. It definitely got the attention of the citizenry of this country, and we talked about this in great detail. We talked about the statement that Ann Graham Lotz made, which we both Sam and I concurred was an outstanding statement, that rather than this being a celebratory event, it ought to be an event that causes us to pause and ask God, what are you trying to say? And then, friends, 4 days later, on Friday of last week, we have this catastrophic Hurricane Harvey that slams into the Texas coast and now has hung around since Friday, dumping torrential rains on the city of Houston, Texas. Now, all the models said that the hurricane was going to go ashore in Corpus Christi. It went ashore a little bit north at Rockport, Texas, and the city of Corpus Christi was spared a lot of the devastation and flooding that could have come their way. And Rockport is not a highly populated area. And then the storm continued to spin and has kind of hovered over the city of Houston for all of this time, dumping what some are going to say ultimately is going to be about 50 inches or more of rain on the city of Houston. Friends, I know you do this, I do this, but when something like this happens, because I'm a preacher of the gospel, I always ask the why question. Why the eclipse? Why now? Why this tragedy? Why now? God, are you trying to say something to us? You're a God rich in mercy, but are you using the elements of weather to try to arrest our attention? And Sam, I want to go to you. You were sharing something with me a little bit earlier that I found to be very captivating, and that is this. The city of Houston, at least a portion of it, was rejoicing over something just last week, and now this happens. I want you to mention it. We don't know if there's a direct connection, but there well could be.
Dave, I will. And I got this from a friend of mine who lives in Houston. His children have different homes. They're in the Houston area. He told me this morning everything is okay with them. He said, but power outages have gone extensively all around. The vehicles are not able to go. He said it's a very, very serious circumstance. I told to him, I said, don't you believe that God is speaking to our nation and has been warning us for a long time about the condition of our people as we have walked away from God? And this is what he responded to me. He said, Sam, while I do not know the exact outcome here, again, he lives in Houston, he says, I do know that God's ways are far above ours. And he said, and it is not lost in my thinking, and those with whom they are in discussion down there in Houston, it's not lost on us that just less than 2 weeks ago, a group called the Greater Houston Partnership, it's an organization there, was loudly, he said, applauding itself, thanking, patting themselves on the back, loudly applauding themselves because they had been successful in thwarting the efforts of Christian people, pastors, churches, and others who were seeking to overturn the Houston transgender bathroom policy in that city. And this group, the Greater Houston Partnership, supporting the transgender policies and that which was pushed in place by the former Houston mayor, they were successful in pushing this off and preserving that horrendous policy. They were applauding themselves. And he said, I just can't overlook the fact that while they were doing that and applauding themselves, that this, in fact, is something that God has allowed to say, no, I will have the last laugh, not you. I think that's very interesting, Dave. I was not aware of that. When yesterday we didn't talk about that. We didn't know that. But there in Houston, Christian people there, knowing that that took place, are saying, we think that God's making a statement to the people of Houston.
Well, Sam, it is not wrong to search for an effect as a result of a cause or a cause-effect relationship here. And is this a component of it? I cannot help but concur with your friend. I have to ask, because we don't know what the final outcome of all this is going to be in Houston, but you do have to at least look at that and say, you know, scripturally, God does respond when pride and arrogance lifts itself and a fist is shaken in his face. Though he is rich in mercy, abundant in grace, there does come a time, Acts 17, where Paul said, even to the men of Athens, God's patience has come to an end, and now he's commanding all men everywhere to repent, you being part of it. So we have to look at this, and we have to ask the question, is there a cause and effect relationship? Sam, we call this our solution segment. There's a lot going on in our country that obviously some would say this is the worst time we've ever had in the nation. And yet we're trying to point out today, in the midst of what some are calling the worst of times, these can be, and in fact, some situations are the very best of times. So what should be the response of God's church? Now, we're watching what's going on in Houston, Texas. We're watching what's happening all across the nation with this division that is being so prominently displayed and pointed up by the media to the ignoring what is happening spiritually. What must the church and individual Christians do in light of all that we see going on?
Dave, I think we must understand that God does speak to nations, to people, through events such as this. You remember, before the election last fall and many throughout the year, people were hearkening, as we should do, to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, God's people, hold the key in short-circuiting or forestalling God's judgment. Now, we know it biblically. We often go to that passage, Dave, and I think sometimes wrong. We almost go to it like a rabbit's foot as a last-minute solution to our trouble. And we race into 2 Chronicles 7:14. But 2 Chronicles 7:13 says, God says, when I withhold the rain or I modify the weather, it's a greater, bigger picture. When I speak to you, when you see these things happening weather-wise, and then you respond to me by humbling yourself and praying, then I will hear you. So, Dave, I think it is absolutely appropriate that God's people across the country, not thinking Houston, thinking our nation, and the people in Houston need to be thinking the people in Houston, but all of us across America need to be thinking our nation, saying, what is God saying? And ask the question, is God pleased with America? Is God pleased with the policies? And then look in the mirror and saying, is God pleased with my heart? Is God pleased with what I am doing and thinking and saying? Dave, if we look in that mirror, we can only humble ourselves before God. Then God will hear.
Sam, that admonition is beyond fitting and beyond powerful. And by the way, even as you were talking, I'm getting feedback via text on what you shared coming out of Houston and the gloating over the transgender bathroom policy and the fact that they had rebuffed the Christians' attempts to reverse that. And so people are paying attention to this, Sam, and this is coming from well outside the Houston, Texas area. Would you do this, Sam? We try to do this at the end of every program. Would you take us to the throne of grace and pray that precisely what you just said will be the response, not just of the leadership and the people in the beloved city of Houston, Texas, but it'll be the response of God's people all across the United States.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now on this broadcast on behalf of millions of people across America who do know how to pray. And we would ask, O Lord, that we in these times not look to government. We look up to you and say, O Lord, we have sinned. We've depended upon ourselves, Lord. We are humbling ourselves now, though, in your sight. Hear our prayers, O Lord. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, I want to encourage you. Don't let this be a prayer you just heard prayed. You pray this prayer yourself. The prayer of repentance, humility before God, and let's see what God does as he can take the worst of times and turn them into the best of times in our individual and national lives. Join us again 23 hours now for our next installment, Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.